Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks Presents True Crime for the Short on Time. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying bite-sized true crime case. But before we do that, Olivia, my friend, my co-host, my travel buddy, long time no see.
I know. It's just been like a few hours, maybe 3-4 hours.
I know. Today was a little bit of a whirlwind day. Olivia, actually, before we recorded this episode, she flew home from a visit here in Nashville. Yeah. We woke up, we thought your flight was delayed.
It was like delayed all day, was supposed to get home late. And then at lunchtime, just turned back to normal.
Right. So I was, you know, doing my day job and my plan had been to come out and be like, hey, you know, I'll see you later. And I get a text, she's like, I'm gone. I had to leave.
Change of plans, I'm gone.
I was like, you stay in my house and then you ghost me?
Craziest thing. It was delayed as soon as basically I got up this morning, and then I was supposed to get home. I was supposed to leave there at like 4 something, get here about 6, and then it was going to be getting here at like 9 p.m. So me and Kara went on about our day, and then all of a sudden we're at lunch and it's like, it's back to normal. We got to wrap it up and get home.
Yeah, it was definitely crazy because I felt bad because, you know, I'm usually someone who's like, thanks for coming. And
you know,
like,
I felt bad. You were on a call. I couldn't come in there.
Yeah, I was doing a training today for a group of people in my day job. But, you know, it was just so great to have you and to be able to spend time and then to see you form an alliance with my wife, which leaves me even further outnumbered in my own home.
Oh, yeah. John's easy to pick on when there's two of us.
Oh, I'm easy to pick on when there's only one of you. So this was just reinforcement. But I was just watching you two.
Yeah, it was so nice. Now I got a new bestie.
So we had a big group message going on, so, you know, people can shit on me via text. So I'm super excited about it. But no, it really was. It was so much fun to have you here and to get to spend that time, you know, especially we've been doing this virtually for so long, to just get to like hang and do things together. It was so much fun. So I'm excited for the next one. Also, we got the opportunity to do a Facebook Live, which I mean, I don't know about you, but I absolutely loved it. I had so much fun. I think we planned on, you know, being on there for like an hour.
For like an hour, yeah. And that was like how long? 2 hours?
Like two hours, 15 minutes or something.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, it was so fun. I love meeting people and talking to them. I mean, we've met pretty most everybody on there, but it was nice just to like put names to faces and have face-to-face conversations via Zoom, but it was really cool.
Yeah, and it's also awesome, you know, some people in the Facebook group were asking us questions and we were getting case suggestions. And so it was just, again, a lot of fun. And I would really like to do it again. You know, I found out that people actually enjoy the multi-part, like the part one, the part two, which, you know, again, I get one Spotify comment that's like, I hate this.
I'm like, I hate it.
I'm never doing it again. So it's cool to get that feedback. And I definitely am looking forward to doing it again. I think it'll be, I think it's good to get that feedback and be able to spend time. Like I said, this feels like a family. So I think that just kind of solidifies that feeling a little bit more.
I'm just going to put a caveat out here. I've been home all of what, maybe 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
My animals might be all up in this episode because they are just so excited to be here with me. It's been about 4 days and they've been alone. Well, not the dog, but the cats.
Yeah.
So they're all right here.
No, that's fine. They got to get their loving, so not a problem at all. Definitely not a big deal. But yeah, we definitely want to do the Facebook meetups again. We got some really good ideas. Maybe do some in-person meetups in the future. Apparently, people live in places with a lot of good food.
I'm going to Connecticut for pizza.
Yep. We got to go to Virginia and hang out with Erin and
let her cook for us.
Have a DJ. It sounds like
big party.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So If you would like to be a part of the next one, we normally talk about at the end of the episode, but join the Facebook group. There's a link in the description of this episode. Go sign up. Come on over and hang out with us. We'd love to have you as part of the family. So I think the other thing we have to talk about is the Coldplay concert, because it was so much fun. I had such a great time.
I think y'all were pleasantly surprised. You know, I am a Coldplay fanatic. They are my band. I will always be a Coldplay person. And I feel like y'all like them, but I feel like you really like them now.
So I've always liked Coldplay. All their radio singles, I like, respect them as musicians. Their harmonies are amazing. Like I've always liked, I feel like you have this thing where I kind of look at, you think I look at Coldplay like people look at Nickelback or something? Where I'm like, no.
A lot of people are like, Coldplay? And I'm like, yeah, they're the greatest out there. They're great. Yeah.
Well, I think they have that, you know, and very much like from the concert, right? When it's like, hello, my brother. You know what I mean? It's very, I think they have the very, I think they kind of fall into a lot of people, they kind of fall into the Dave Matthews thing, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like you're a woke middle-aged white man. Like, this has to be your band, right? Where I don't agree with that. I think they're amazing musicians. Mm-hmm. I knew the concert was going to be awesome just from the fact that, you know.
I told you.
Yes, I knew it was going to be great. And I cannot believe that they, I mean, if you have not been to one of their concerts, they tore it up for over 2 hours. And as somebody who like grew up playing shows and has played like bigger venues and stuff, like to play for 2 hours straight out of that catalog is super, super impressive. And it never really got, there were spots where it's like kind of slowed down and would drag a little bit, but it was like by design. It didn't feel like it was boring. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like they kind of, it was like they added, so their new music is very like, I'll call it spiritual, worldly, you know, world peace. You know, they just want everyone to get along for once. And so, you know, there's a point where they kind of like do a few of those. And, you know, they're the ones that are on the radio, things that you know, but they also play some that aren't so familiar. But I mean, they hit hard at a Coldplay concert.
Oh, yeah.
Being at a rave.
Yeah. And like, you know, there was a couple of songs like, Yellow is one of my favorite songs of all time. Fix You is one of my favorite songs of all time.
Clocks, you know, the OGs.
Yeah.
Even La Vida.
There is a Latin remix of Clocks that I dig way harder than the actual album version. Somebody remixed it. It's way better. I'll send it to you. It's way better. But for me, Fix You and Yellow, I recorded the intro to Yellow. And then as soon as those drums came in, it kicked. I was like, okay, I'm done recording. I'm just going to enjoy the song.
Enjoy the song. I know you like want to have it because it's so great. But at the same time, I like record little snippets. I'm like, no, I just want to be here and be in the moment. I will say this time. So I know if you've listened recently, in June, I went to Vegas and saw Coldplay. And it was an enclosed stadium, so I didn't get the fireworks. This time, I got the fireworks.
Yeah, and they doubled down with the fireworks at the end, too.
I know. Who knew that you would get them at the end like that? I knew they would have them with the sky full of stars. Sorry if I'm ruining it for you, but the end. I was just like, more fireworks, and I got more confetti. Yeah. I was able to get confetti at both shows, put it in my little collector box.
And left some for Millie, which was nice, too. She's got some. Also, so if you go to the show, they give you these. They're called moon goggles, and you're supposed to put them on at a certain point in the show, but it makes all the lights that you're looking at, like depending on the show, it projects like different shapes. So we went into Millie's room where she has that astronaut with all the lasers and everything.
Is it all lights?
Each little laser dot was a star. Yeah. So it was crazy looking. So she's very happy to have them. So
yeah, we didn't, everybody around us seemed to have hearts, but in Vegas, one of my girlfriends had either stars or crosses. Because we were like, oh, what do you see? Look at all the hearts. And they're like, hearts? I don't have hearts.
Yeah.
So, but they also didn't pass out the pins, which I thought was a little disappointing because they still have 14 shows left to go. They need to revamp on the pins.
Yeah. It was a really cool experience. I was telling Kara, like, especially during those songs that I think really mean a lot to me or that I connect with a lot, there was an element. I grew up going to church, right? And so, you know, in the Southern Baptist church, people, you put your hand on your chest and you got your arm up you're like singing and swaying. And there's a, there was a one point in, I think it was Yellow, where I was just like, oh, this feels like I'm a kid in church again. Like, it's like moving you in the same way. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I would definitely recommend going to see them if you can. You know, they've been around forever, so they have the ability to be like, we're going to do an insane stage show. It was just a lot of fun. And Keith Urban showed up.
I know. So I was about to say, Keith Urban showed up. Such a nice surprise. They kept saying there was a surprise guest, but then I just figured, I don't know, maybe it's after what they posted, because there was three openers and in Vegas there was only two. There's also a Palestinian female artist named Elana, I want to say. It's E-L-Y-A-N-N-A. She's got an amazing voice. Y'all should definitely check her out too. But Keith Urban was cool coming on stage. My goal is to go to Wembley. So I bought my ticket on my way home. No, I'm kidding.
I was going to say, you bought tickets for Wembley Stadium. Now, I do have a dream. Like, I do want to see a show there at some point. Like, the Beatles have sold out Wembley multiple times. The Foo Fighters have sold it out multiple times. Like, I also realized that I think for me, the way that you love Coldplay, I don't know if you ever mess with them or not, but I love Snow Patrol. So okay. I feel like Snow Patrol is, I have a lot of like people kind of hate on Snow Patrol. I'm like, you don't understand. Catalog is amazing. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, overall, it was such a great experience having you here. The concert was awesome. And we ate such good food. Assembly Food Hall was, you know, a lot of fun and hanging out there too. So
I only got into one fight. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 We're at a concert that's all about like peace and love. And love. Like the singer is literally like, you know, look at your neighbor and tell him you love him. You know what I mean?
Send them love from across the room. Tell them they're great. Meanwhile, our seat neighbor was, get out of my seat, when I wasn't even in it, but whatever.
I just heard, say, can you scoot over? And I was like, I'm standing in the aisle and both of the ladies that I'm with are in front of their chairs. Like,
half in front of mine.
She seemed miserable. She kept
elbowing me. And I'm like, lady, if you wouldn't have elbowed me, I wouldn't have said anything when you smarted off to me. But I'll throw down when I'm not in the wrong.
Yeah. Like, I looked at Karen. I was like, just let me switch. Let me take the seat right next to her. Because I'm not a small guy. I'll be manspreading and stretching out the whole show. And her boyfriend seemed miserable, too. Like, he just did not want to be there.
She was just ruining it. That's what I told Kara. I said, she's ruining it for herself. She's taking a wonderful, wonderful, fun, and loving concert and making it pissy.
Yeah. And I think eventually, after her boyfriend kind of put her in her place and was like, you're not standing in front of your seat. Like,
he told her, like, you're not in front of your seat. Like, don't get onto her. You're not in front of yours.
Yeah, it seemed like she kind of, like, lightened up a little bit, but... Like I said, it was just such a great time. And, you know, the way that we were seated, we were, you know, in different, like, same section, different rows, but it was awesome because everybody's like, we're just going to stand in the aisle. So we all got to stand together, and it was a lot of fun and a really good time. So I'm definitely excited for more trips, whether we're coming down there, you come back up here, however, you know, we do it in the future. I'm excited to get more time to hang out and have more adventures under our belt for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I could keep talking on and on about the trip and about how great the Facebook Live was. And if you want to watch that, it is on the Facebook, so you can go back and watch it. I know this is supposed to be a short on time. I kind of figured this one would be a little bit longer because of all the chat in the beginning, since we didn't have one, like a traditional episode for Monday. But this is a true crime podcast. We do have to get into the case. So what do you say? Should we quit the Gabby Gabby, get to the Stabby Stabby, and jump into the case that I brought for us this week?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. For this week's Short on Time case, we're headed to Bexar County, Texas. On July 19th of this year, the local sheriff's office received a strange phone call. The person on the other end was concerned. According to the caller, his father, 49-year-old Charles Byrd, had made a terrifying confession, telling his son that he had killed his stepmother, 44-year-old Angela Byrd. Deputies responded to the scene, meeting the caller at a rural trailer in South Bexar County. And that is where they made a gruesome discovery. Inside the home were the decomposed remains of Angela Byrd. Her body had been wrapped in plastic, carpet, and blankets, all held together by ratchet straps in an attempt to hide the victim's body and mask the odor. Now, the crime scene was horrific, but there was no sign of Charles Byrd. He would later be found hiding out at a friend's property less than a mile away from the crime scene. Once arrested, Byrd would provide the grisly details of what he had done to his wife. According to the suspected killer, he had come home early to surprise his wife on June 16th. But when he got home, he suspected that Angela had been waiting for another man. Believing that Angela was cheating, the couple got into a verbal altercation, which eventually turned deadly. According to Bird, he began choking Angela while biting her face several times, ultimately ending her life. When he was finished, he attempted to conceal his wife's body by wrapping it in plastic and carpet. Charles Bird would live with his wife's remains in the home for 32 days. At one point, disposing of a trash bag of decomposition fluid residue in a local school district dumpster. Bird later told police that he thought about turning himself in, but he had wanted more time before having to face the consequences of his actions. Now, surprisingly, the 49-year-old has no criminal history, and when this was mentioned to Bird by the police, he responded, "Go big or go home." An autopsy would determine that Angela Bird's cause of death was related to homicidal violence. Charles Bird has been charged with murder and tampering with evidence. He faces a total bond of up to $650,000. If he can bond out, he has been ordered not to contact the victim's family. He'll be placed under house arrest and is not allowed to possess firearms. Authorities have also placed Bird in a suicide prevention smock since his booking, after concerns were raised regarding his emotional state and risk. Now, for anyone listening, if you or a family member are a victim of domestic violence, there is a way to get help. Please, you can contact the Domestic Violence Hotline at 800-799-7233. Again, that's 800-799-7233. You can also text BEGIN to 88788. Again, that's the word BEGIN to 88788. So, Olivia, that's this week's case. As always, where's your head at? What are you thinking?
Okay, this one was a shorty, but this one was gruesome. Like, what and what? Does he even have proof that she was cheating? Or he was just making this up in his head?
So, in the research, police asked him that exact question, like, how do you know she was cheating? And his response was, you had to check her phone. And so he told police where her phone was. They were able to locate it. I mean, by all accounts, he's been very forthcoming with everything that happened. But they've located the phone. They have it in their possession, but they have yet to confirm or deny. On their end, I don't know if, you know, it particularly matters to them or if, you know, it's worth.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but he was, you know, just basically, yeah, she was cheating on me and we got into a fight. And then I strangled her to death and bit her face a bunch of times until I killed her. So,
like, you've been bitten before and you've bitten someone as a child, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, definitely as a child. I was like,
you're not biting Kara these days. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, no.
But if you bite someone, like, I don't like that feeling. Like, not being bitten, but, like, doing the biting. Like, I don't think I was a biter. Because even, like, if I remember being a child and just, like, biting into someone, I don't like that taste. The feeling, I don't know if it's a taste or a feeling. I don't like that. And I just don't understand how you can just, like, go to town gnawing on someone's face.
Yeah. It definitely feels like it'd be, like, a weird texture kind of thing. Like, you know, like,
thick. And meaty, and I don't like gristle on chicken, so I'm like, I don't know, not my thing. Well,
it's funny that you said that, because that's immediately like what my brain went to when I was reading it. It's like, you know, if you think about like a pork butt, you know, or something before it's cooked.
Yeah, just
if you were just to like bite into it. Yeah, yeah. It's So that's definitely gross. But what do you think about? Because I think to me the most startling thing about this is, I mean, he lived with that body in the house
for over a month.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
To the point where, like, he's having to get rid of fluid that's coming from the decomposing body.
That's gross. And then I wonder, and you may not know the answer, did he confess to dumping it at the school? Or did the school, like, report to the police, like, something is definitely off? It smells like not your normal trash in the dumpster.
No, so he definitely confessed and was like, this is what I did. He was also a master plumber for the school district.
Okay.
Yeah. So he knew probably like which dumpster to go to where it'd be, you know, a little more low key. You know, maybe it's easier to get away with there. Now, obviously, he's since been fired from the school district, but yeah, he had worked for the district for a very long time.
I also think his bond is way too low. And I also don't think that he should even be eligible to bond out. I mean, like, can't you just go get bail bonds and get a bail bond, but you have to, like, pay the loan back? Is that how that works?
You can, but $650,000 is a lot of the odds that he's going to bond out are probably pretty low. That, you know, I think it's just one of those things where, like, he's, you know, probably not. They were living in a small trailer in like a rural area, right? So, like, if you think about flight risk, he's probably not hopping a plane and leaving the country.
Right.
Anything like that. It sounds like, if anything, they're more worried about him, you know, killing himself. But yeah, I feel like in it feels like in most of these cases, like, you have to do something like particularly heinous to get no bond whatsoever, you know, or to revoke any kind of bond.
What more heinous can you get? He ate her face off and hit her for 34 days.
No, I agree with you. I'm not being there like, oh yeah, you should definitely, you know, yeah. It wasn't that bad. It's just most of the time when we do these cases, it's something like just super crazy. It's either that or it's something.
Or maybe
I've noticed
it's a
where
Texas,
like,
law, or maybe Texas is more lenient or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Which, you know, when you think Texas, you don't necessarily think lenient.
Not at all.
You know?
I thought that as soon as I said that.
Right. But I did want to ask you about this, because I think the comment that really got under my skin the most is when they asked him about his criminal record and how he'd never been in trouble before. The go big or go home. That I was like, oh, this person is either a psychopath or a sociopath. Because what is it? The psychopath knows what they're doing is wrong and they do it anyway. And the sociopath just doesn't have any feelings about anything, if I'm correct. So it feels like it's one of the two. But for that to be your response, like, yeah, man, never been in trouble before, but if I'm going to get in trouble, I'm going to go big or go home. You know, like. That creeped me out real hard. I didn't know if you had any thoughts about that.
Yeah, and maybe I think that is creepy that he said that. And kind of just to play devil's advocate, maybe he was just thinking, well, if I'm going to get in trouble, I might as well get in trouble. You know, like, if it was just a domestic violence and he, like, beat her up really bad where she was hospitalized or something, like, yeah, you're going to have charges, you're going to do time. So maybe that's what he meant, like, go big or go home. If I'm going to hurt her, I'm going to murder her. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It was very, very unsettling. And I guess, according to, you know, his son who called it in, it was like around Father's Day where, like, Bird just started being more reclusive, like, stopped, like, answering calls or coming around or anything like that. And finally admitted to his son, like, I killed her, you know? So it's, I was just also trying to put myself in his son's shoes to be like, oh, great. Now I got to call the police on my dad because he killed my stepmother. You know what I mean? And I'm sure that is like a giant kind of shock and, you know, trying to process like, oh, I'm like turning my dad in now and he'll probably go to prison for the rest of his life. And there's just a lot of elements about this case. And I'm just like, man, this is, like you said, it's short, but it's really disturbing, you know?
Yeah, it's short and deep.
Yeah. So we'll definitely have to keep an eye on it for sure. I'm really hoping that this one does go to trial. Honestly, at this point, it does sound like he's just going to say, like, yep, I'm guilty.
Give me whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless his, you know, defense attorney comes in and is like, no, this is how we can spin it. So it'll be interesting to see what actually plays out. But if we're talking Deadbolt test, where does something like this fall for you?
I think I'm going to put this one out of 10.
Yeah, it's small but mighty. Gross.
And the eating, biting her face and keeping her body there for 30 something days.
Yeah.
It's gross. Yeah, this one's gross.
Yeah, it really is disgusting to be like, you're keeping this body in the house for over a month to the point where you're having to get rid of the waste. And like, in the research, they talk about meeting the son at the trailer so he can let them in. And like the smell that you could smell from outside, like to know that you're like your dad was living inside that trailer when you can smell it so bad outside, And, you know, you think about Texas in July.
Stinky. What did I just tell you? Yeah. I think one of my animals killed a little rodent in my backyard. And I walked outside and the smell of death hit me. And I'm like, this is probably just a small little frog or a lizard or something, you know, nothing crazy. Right. So I can only imagine what a human life-size body smells like.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. I think, you know, there's also just an element of like, you know, you talk about all the time, but like, even if she was cheating, like,
move on.
Yeah. Bye. You know what I mean? Like,
they're not old. They're 40. They're in their 40s. Like,
yeah,
you have a whole life to live. I feel like I'm going to meet my great love at 44 years old.
Yeah. You know, I think it's one of those things where there's obviously some underlying mental illness. And maybe this is just the, like the straw that made the camel's back snap, you know what I mean? But there's, you know, had to be something. You don't go from like no criminal record and everything's fine to just like, yeah, I strangled her to death and was biting her in the face. And then I let her stay with me for 32 days, you know?
I'm curious to know if drugs were involved. Meth, bath salts.
I don't know. It didn't say anything. And I would imagine like if you're working for the school district. You know, like
people fake drug tests all the time.
Yeah. But I feel like if you're, you know, tweaking super hard, you know what I mean? And you're like, yeah, I'm here to fix your, you know what I mean? Like, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, let me in the classroom. I got to fix the sink or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe he didn't. It's really weird because in his mugshot, he's smiling and it is very like unsettling. You know, because just especially when you think of what he did and he's like, yep, I'm here, like smiling. But I don't know. It could be it could be that drugs were involved. There was nothing definitive in the research there. So I don't want to be like,
yeah, he's addicted most to likely, meth.
But yeah. But yeah, for me, I mean, I would put this at a 10 as well. There is something about being thought of so little. That like someone would take your life and be like, I'm just going to wrap them up in plastic and, you know, just stick them in a corner and just let them sit there. You know what I mean? Like that's horrifying. So I think I would put this at a 10 as well. But like I said, we're definitely going to have to follow this one because I want to know what happens to this guy. And hoping that, that Angela's family gets justice. And this is just sad. You know, you lose a loved one in such a terrible way. It's heartbreaking. Well, that is where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's case. Olivia and I are both coming in at double tens, which I think has been the first time in a while that we've hit that high on the scale.
I think so.
Yeah. But as always, we want to hear from you, the listeners, the locksmiths. Where does the murder of Angela Byrd fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at CheckTheLocksPod. You can find us on Twitter at CheckTheLocks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, we already talked about it. Come hang out with us. We'd love to have you as part of our community. It is the best place on the internet, in my opinion. And again, if you would like a link, you can go into the description of the episode that you're listening to now, answer a couple of questions, and come be part of our community. And as always, if you like what we do, you want to financially support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. I got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits. You get stickers, coffee mugs, stuff like that. But you also get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, if you like what we do, you want to help us out, that's patreon.com/checkthelocks. You can get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, hanging out with us, sharing what we do with your friends, your family, the people who are important to you means just as much, if not more. So if that's you, you're telling people to listen. I mean, we heard that in the Facebook Live, you know, that people had found the show because their sister had told them about it or a friend had told them about it. And that's exactly what we're looking to do. It's just that grassroots growth. So just know, again, if you're sharing this in any way, shape, or form, just know we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. That's all that we have for this week's case. But please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying, bite-sized true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.